Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Off the Book, the podcast. I'm Maddie.
I'm Beth.
And we talk all things YA, NA, adult books, but not really today. Today we have a special guest. We are joined with Val from
joined
Everything
by.
With Val. Is that right? That didn't sound right in my head.
Grammatically, that was correct.
Okay, cool. So we've got Val from Everything with Val podcast. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I think special is maybe an exaggeration, but guest nonetheless. Super honored to be here. Thank you for having me remotely from the beautiful Stockholm, Sweden. I'm feeling very privileged right now.
I'm very jealous. I'm here just overheating. Well, 1 second it was pouring down rain, and now it's like 5,000 degrees in this garage. So if you can hear the rain, I'm very sorry. If you can hear the tree scraping against the window, again, I'm very sorry. This is just the situation we've got today. Because guess what? Maddie is isolating again. In the space of like 2 weeks, this is the second time. But it's okay. I get out tomorrow. This is like, what, chatty episode number 3?
5,645 million. We do so many chatty episodes at this point. But I think they're very cool. I think they're great chatty episodes.
Kind of lost count. I feel like this is very tamed for us at the beginning.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's the fact that we have a guest and we're very much like, we have to be on our best behaviour. Normally, if it's Maddie and I just recording a chatty episode in a room, we are just being idiots. But we're like, there's someone else here. There's another creator. We have to be like normal people.
Four questions. Val, do you want to answer them first as you're our guest today? So how are you? What's your mental health? What are you reading? What are you watching? Go for it.
Yeah, I'm doing well. The weather has been a little bit more grim here, so that's got me feeling all sorts of ways, which answers the next question. How is my mental health? Well, internally, I'm on a beach in Greece, which sticks with our theme since we just read Circe. But what am I reading? I just finished Circe. There is a very cute romantic series called, it's from like the Bromance Book Club. I just finished Isn't It Romantic, which is the fourth book. It was really cute. But what am I currently reading? I'm currently reading The Food Mood Connection by Dr. Uma Nayandu. And then I'm also listening to Winning by Tim Grove. Both really good so far. So enjoying that. And then what am I watching? I'm currently watching The White Lotus. It's a show from HBO. It is probably one of the most fucking strange shows I've ever seen in my life.
I've heard good things about it, though. Is it good?
But it is decent. It is pretty good. Like, it is a... because it was... they labeled it a COVID-safe show that they could film during COVID. So they all pissed off to Hawaii for 6 weeks and filmed it. And it's got energy. It's strange, but it's got energy. What type of energy? We don't know yet. So far, good. Could it take a spin? Absolutely. And then besides that, I watch one of my favorite shows of all time, which is The Great British Bake Off. So yes, that's what I watch.
A classic.
Absolutely.
Wait, just checking. What was the title of that HBO show you said? I think my internet.
The White Lotus.
The White Lotus. Rings a bell.
Has like a ton of shit famous people in there. It's like the one girl that's blonde in Euphoria. Solve anything. She was in an MGK like biopic about his new album.
Sydney Sweeney. Love her. I love Sydney Sweeney. Goddess. She's gorgeous.
Maddie looks confused. She's like, who the fuck is this?
We covered this on your podcast. I don't know names. Give me a face and I know who they are, but you talk names and I'm lost. Like, go straight over my head.
This is my favorite thing. So we have our friend Jess, who we kind of like joke as like a third kind of like member of the podcast, because we talk about her all the time, but we never like, she's never here. But we had, Jess and I will always be talking about actors. And Maddie's like, I have no idea who you're talking about. Absolutely not a Scooby. And it just makes me laugh every time.
And then they show me a picture and I'm like, oh, got it. I know who that is.
All right, well, Maddie, same four questions to you. How are you? How's your mental health? What are you reading? What are you watching?
I'm doing fantastic considering I've isolated twice in like as many weeks. I'm fine. I'm chilling. What am I reading? I'm still reading Atlas 6 because I haven't been allowed to pick it back up again. Naming no names. I'm currently reading Siege of the Seven Sins because that's for an episode coming up, which is exciting. And I just finished Cersei, which I realised I read like 2 pages of like 2 months ago, and then I just never picked it up again because I'm an idiot and finished it 2 hours before we started recording. So that's fun.
What am I watching? Also just want to say that we were scheduled to record Cersei like a month ago, and all of us we didn't read it. And then the day before we were like, oh, we haven't read it. Thank God we postponed it, because if I had to read that in one sitting, I probably wouldn't have finished it because it was slow.
Yes.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm. if you want to hear our thoughts on Cersei, then you should go to Val's podcast and listen to the review, of which I'm not really talking in it much because I had technical issues, but Val and Beth do a lot of talking. What am I watching? I've started rewatching Mike on YouTube. I'm obsessed.
Is the car sentient?
The car is sentient. Val's like, you. What? There's a YouTuber called Mike, and I just think he's one of the funniest people I've ever seen. He did a whole video on whether the cars in the Cars movie are sentient. And
all right.
Yeah. And
like,
what?
Do they have brains? Are the doors their arms?
It sounds like really rogue when we put it that way. But what was it? It was me, you, Jess, and I think maybe Chris all sat in a room watching his videos, and it was just like a good time. But I have rediscovered him mainly because of his TikToks. But
And I'm living for his Twitter.
Oh, 100%. And his Instagram stories. Very funny. Other than that, I'm not really watching anything because I've been in isolate. All I've been doing is reading, so that's fun. Bethany, your turn.
I love the way you say my name with like that proper essay. No, I mean that in like the most tender way. I love it. I also love that you always call me my full name, not Beth, but Bethany. I love it. I love it more than I can actually express.
What was it? Bethany and Furrick, you take the mick out of me for. I've grown up here, okay? You can't take the mick out the way I say my hometown. Thank you very much.
I just sound really mean now. I also make fun of the way you say thanks. Sometimes you just go, thanks.
Yeah, look, I had speech therapy and I still can't say my THs. What do you want from me? What are you expecting?
I love you so much. Do you miss me?
Mm-mm.
You do. You definitely do. Behind closed doors, Maddie will never tell anyone this, but she did text me and was like, I miss you so much.
So when
no one's around, she's an absolute softie for me. And no one's going to believe me, but it happens, I swear. I swear it on, you know, wherever. Okay, questions. How am I? Tired. I am just tired. I worked yesterday, I'm working today, I'm working tomorrow, and then I'm reading with my spare time. So my mental health is tired. I like to try and find a meme that just sums up my mental health, but today I just am too tired to even think of something funny.
I'm very sorry to interrupt. Val asked us a question on her podcast that was, are you tired of reading yet? And I think we've just come to the conclusion that yes, we are tired of reading.
I'm not actually. I've kind of just been in a bit of a book slump and I'm now coming out of it. I think it's now that I've finished Tower of Dawn, I feel so much happier.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about Tower of Dawn. Sorry, carry on.
Wait, why are we not talking about Tower of Dawn?
But I do think Maddie and I agree that Cersei almost put us in a book slump. Because for reasons that maybe shan't be said here, it was not great.
If you want to find out, though, you know where you need to go.
Yeah. I would also just like to point out, So we can all, no one else will see, but like we can all see each other. And Maddie, in the background, someone is clearly in the garden because I can see just the shadow of white walking past. But I keep thinking it's a ghost, and I am like, I'm already preparing what I'm saying at your funeral because I've seen the horror films. I know how this goes. So thanks. Love you.
Thank you. I'm glad you're keeping out for my well-being and my safety.
Yeah, and don't worry. It will not be an embarrassing eulogy. It will be something really nice, something you'd
it
like.
It better not be. In fact, no, it better be, because otherwise I'll be disappointed in you if it's not.
What, you want it to be an embarrassing one?
Can you hear the dogs out the outside?
Oh my gosh, get the dogs on the podcast. Actually, they wouldn't be allowed.
No.
Heartbreaking. Sorry. What am I reading? I'm reading, I don't know, books. I'm reading Siege of the Seven Sins by Emily Collin. I'm reading Fresh by Margot Wood. And I'm also, I've started, I'm still reading What I Was Doing While You Were Breeding. I'm always reading like 4 or 5 books. It's my worst, one of my worst habits. I'm also reading, so yeah, What I Was Doing While You Were Breeding by Kristen Newman. And did I say Tower of Dawn? No, not Tower of Dawn. Kingdom of Ash. So, reading lots.
I've just realised I was trying to help you and I was muted. So that was a good job for me.
I'm so proud of you. And then what am I watching? I'm still binge watching Grey's Anatomy because it is my personality. It's becoming my personality. Also Criminal Minds, just because I like watching murder, or like people figure out how murder happens. And True Blood, where people murder. It's a really weird thing. Grey's Anatomy is dealing with injured people. Criminal Minds is like how people are murdered, and then True Blood is like people murdering people. It's a really weird cycle I have here. Well, like, I mean, kind of. Kind of. So it's a very vicious cycle. Yeah. Okay, we are going to move on to the next little section, which is everything with Val. So Val, do you want to tell us what inspired you to start your podcast and what your journey's been like so far?
For sure I can. So last year, before the pandemic happened, I loved podcasts and I always wanted to do one because for some reason people find my story quite interesting, even though I don't, because I was born and raised in South Africa. When I was almost 19, I moved over to the US and I studied there. I studied in Boca Raton, Florida, which is like 40 minutes from Miami, depending on how fast you drive or how shitty you drive, actually. And then I met a Swedish guy when I was there, and then I studied there for like 3.5 years. And then I actually lived in London where my best friend was studying. She went to Uxbridge, and I really enjoyed it and knew that I wanted to move back to Europe because my dad's Belgian. So after I graduated, I moved to Belgium as well, and I lived there for a year. And then I finally, in 2018, moved to Sweden to be with my boyfriend. And here, podcasts are like a personality trait. It is a part of life. Everyone is listening to them, and they have so many in Swedish. And that's one of the biggest reasons why I'm actually learning Swedish, is so that I can listen to these incredible podcasts. Like, you have Alex and Sigga, you have Petre, so many. I'm going to name shit that you guys haven't even heard of, but yeah, just assume that they're amazing. And I really wanted to do it, and I actually wanted to call it the Anything and Everything podcast, but it was way too similar to, like, Emma Chamberlain has one that is almost the exact same name, and I was like, well, I can't do that because she got a little bit more clout and reach than I do. So it's like Everything with Val. And I really wanted a platform where I could talk, because mine focuses on current events, life, and travel, and I love to travel. Unfortunately, I haven't been doing that much in the last year and a half. And current events, I actually studied politics for both my bachelor and master's. So I really have like a passion for that and just current events in general. And then life, because I'm surrounded by really incredible people. And I wanted to share that with some people who would find that fascinating. So that's sort of the inspiration. Also, because I think it's cool where you have like a place where you can talk shit. But it also felt like maybe you felt the same way. Because with like sort of book podcasts, it's incredibly that way, but they feel very surface level. Like, everyone is saying something so that they liked about it, and I'm like, you're not gonna love every book you read, right? There are some bad books. It's nothing against the author, but not every book is for everyone, and there's a beauty in that. I have best friends who think some of my favorite books are terrible and vice versa, but it's the same for other things. I feel like it's sometimes very surface level and not very genuine. Like, I try and get as vulnerable as I possibly can it's still a learning process. So yeah, that was a little bit of the inspiration around everything with Val.
Amazing. Nice. I'm glad, like you said about like the surface level stuff. Like I think we're trying to find the line, especially where authors have started sending us books. Like if we don't like them, we kind of feel like a responsibility to turn around and say like, but there is something good about it. I think there's a line between trying to like being completely honest. Oh, sorry, I just realized my mic's over here. being completely honest about the book, but also not wanting to offend people. And I think, I mean, I know I'm struggling with that at the moment. I don't know if you are, Beth.
My personality is people pleaser. So yeah, it's a problem. I would also like to point out the most important thing. I believe Maddie, her laptop is currently in the freezer. And I think if we're lucky, Maddie is going to also climb into the freezer. Fingers crossed.
It is a chest freezer. I could fit in it if I really tried, but I don't feel like suffocating, so I'm not going to do that.
You don't have to close the lid, just get in the freezer.
You know I'm accident prone and it would...
I just want to say that they've been focused on this for like, we have been recording since 3 and she's wanted her to get in this freezer since 3. I think the criminal minds and all of this murder shit is going a bit far. Just saying. From an objective perspective.
Come on, Maddie, you'll make me so happy.
Little bit creepy.
A lot creepy. Don't give me that look. No. I don't want to die. Thank you very much.
I don't want you to die. I love you. Jeez. Okay, back to the questions and away from my slightly odd request of Maddie getting in the freezer. Back to your podcast. If you could give advice to anyone who is considering like starting a podcast, what advice would you give?
Oh, wow. Just started. I think people are so focused on making it absolutely amazing and so perfected in a way, because I know so many people who bought like so much expensive shit for it. And I'm just like, you can do this on your phone. Like we have amazing like sort of audio software that you can make it on your phone. Like I know I bought a microphone, but that's literally it. It's me, my laptop, and a lot of criticism from my boyfriend's perfection of how close I should stand to the mic and be like, doing this, but really just get into it. I mean, it's very nerve-wracking putting some of this stuff out there for people, but just do it. I mean, I remember when I got my first 100 downloads or sort of listens, that was absolutely incredible. And then the same feeling at 500, 1,000 and what have you, but just really go do it. And I remember when I started, people were like, find a niche, like you should focus on if it's current events, if it's life. And I was like, but I know that in a year, if I only do current events, I won't want to do that. So just find what you're interested in. Maybe you don't grow as fast as someone who's, for example, focusing on, let's say if you're a sneakerhead and all you talk about is sneakers, maybe you don't grow as quickly as that super specific topic. But if it's something that brings you joy, just go and do it. I think we have so much criticism in the world of what other people do that at the end of the day, if it brings you joy and you're not harming anyone, I mean, can I swear?
Yeah.
Sorry.
We do great. All the time.
I mean... Great. I just want, because you asked me, so I thought I'd pay the same respect, but fuck, just go and do it. I mean, like, do what makes you feel good. I know there are podcasts about knitting and like specifically what needles you should knit with, what thread, like all of these things. And I mean, there are people who are getting joy out of that. Why can't you make yours about whatever it is the fuck that you want to talk about? Just go and do it. Again, if it's not harming anyone, harming yourself, blessed be the word and go forth, I guess.
100%. Like, I feel like we've got one of like the jankiest podcast setups you could possibly have. Like, we've got like £20 mics off of Amazon, our laptops, and then like a free like upload service that we use, and that's it. And then I find myself constantly all the time getting like caught up, especially on Instagram, of all of the like these other podcasts that do exactly the same as us, and they're all like super organized and they've got these amazing equipment, and I'm just finding myself looking at us and being like, what are we doing? But I think it's like, we want to have fun with it. We don't want to take it too seriously, otherwise you're going to lose the enjoyment in it. And I don't want to do something like this if it's not going to be fun. Like, what's the point trying to force ourselves to read what 2 books a week and then recording? Like, it's not... I 100% agree with you. If it's what you want to do, then you should just go out and do it.
For sure. And for yours, it can be easily like overwhelming, because then you, like, let's say you review a book that has only gotten praise and you're like, no, well, I actually thought this was a little bit shit. You can get a lot of hate for that. But it's like, where does the freedom of opinion come in? Again, not everything is for everyone. Like, a lot of people like chicken nuggets, but there's also a lot of people, or a very few selected people, who don't. It's like broccoli. Not a fan, but know a lot of people who also like it. Not to use too many food analogies or anything, but I just think, like, at the end of the day, at some point we need to be a little bit less sensitive and just have the freedom to say what we think, especially if it's about a book, about a movie, or whatever it is. And yeah, I think what you guys are doing are awesome. So yeah, I mean, I said in your Instagram DMs, I think it's very on the nose of what's happening instead of dating and everything else.
I mean, we appreciate you getting in contact with us. When we saw it, we were so excited. Like, it was, like, just really cool to have another podcaster message us. And when I listen to your stuff, like, your stuff is so calming. Like, your voice is so, like, chill and relaxing. Like, I feel like we're complete opposites in our podcast. This is just chaos.
I think it was so funny when you said that, though. Sorry for interrupting. I just think it's so hilarious when you say that, because if my family and my friends hear that, they'll be like, yeah, just wait. Like, I talk a lot and I'm labeled as pretty extrovert, but I think what's interesting is that with that, I find it like a voice journal, right? I don't know if you guys feel the same. I leave a lot of, like, the aggression of the day or the stress of the day and any feelings that I'm having, I leave it out there. So that's also a reason that I would promote people to start podcasts, because I think it would be so cool. I hopefully want to have kids one day, and if they can listen to this and be like, this is the crap mom was talking about at this time, like, that would be so awesome. Because I think now, with, like, so many creators having YouTubes and stuff, it must be so cool for their kids to watch that, like, from 10, like, 5 years ago, and be like, that's so awesome. Sorry, I just paused to show, like, excitement on the chat. You obviously can't see it, but I'll just explain. And I just think that would be so fun. And, like, of course, I mean, there's a lot of books that you guys can reread. Maybe you'll love them in a few years. Maybe you'll become your faves that you once rated 0 or 2.
That is a very good point. I'd be intrigued to see if that happens.
I also want to point out, like, Maddie and I are very, like, angry, like, active feminists, very much, like, we do not like men. So, like, I think we're both actively, like, we do not want, like, men or anyone sliding into our DMs. But you sliding into our DMs, we were like, yes, we want to, like, this is a book collaboration. This is the perfect kind of sliding into DMs. We want more of this. This is great. So I think we appreciate that.
Well, I was really nervous because, as you said, like, I think even when guys do it, there's always a way to approach a person, especially if you leave room for reproach or just being like, no, thank you, right? Everyone is open to rejection. If you would have said no, I think it would have sucked. But I would have understood, like, that's obviously everyone's ability is to say no. But it's also having that room to say no, because no is a full sentence, right? You don't have to explain anything more. You literally could have wrote no. Okay. Sucks, but it is what it is. Like, it's a full sentence and you don't need to explain anything to anyone. So I hear what you're saying, but I just think that if more people wrote it with kinder intentions and not as creepy or fucking crazy, it would not be as scary when you're doing this.
100%.
I love that line of no is a full sentence. I heard that, like, a while back and I've just adopted it. And, like, I, like, working in a school, especially, like, around lots of young kids, like, I'm making sure, like, I instill that in them. Because I wish I'd known that as a phrase. Like, I'm very much a people pleaser and I try and, like, please everyone, and, like, I kind of exhaust myself, like, physically and mentally. It's that thing of, like, I can just say no. And, like, it's been so great to, like, learn that phrase and, like, how important it is.
I think I've spoken about it before, but there was, like, it was, like, a form time and it was about consent. But, like, the teacher was saying, like, no is a full sentence, and then also trying to explain how, like, actions also, like, can represent no, can mean no. And it was like trying to get these, like, 14-year-olds to fully understand that was painful, but it's, like, so important for them to learn at that age, especially. I mean, it should be taught from, like, babies, but, like, I think it's so important for them to fully grasp that in all areas of life, not just, like, people, like, messaging you and stuff.
Awesome. So we have some book-based questions, because obviously as a book podcast we have to ask book-based questions.
Please.
So Our first question is, what was your favorite book or your favorite book series growing up?
I actually had a few. So when I was younger, I was not the biggest fan of reading. I still do. I really love TV and film. Also behind the scenes, like directing, producing, everything like that. But when I got to the age of, like, let's say 11 or 12, I really wanted to give reading a try because I absolutely adored Angus Thongs and Full Frontal Snogging. I don't know if you've read those. It was the bliss of my childhood. They were so nicely written. It was easy. You didn't have to be some scholar to figure it out. Like, it was a pretty simple thing to experience. So that one, The Princess Diaries, was also a big hit. But the one that really set off the rich, like, literature journey for me, like most people, was Twilight. That was an experience like none other. I still remember reading them to this day, like, because it was like almost 10-12 years ago. And I remember, like, for example, when I read Breaking Dawn, it was one of the biggest books I've ever read because I have ADD, so it's kind of hard sometimes for me to concentrate. I blew through that in one evening. I was like, I'm gonna demolish this book because I need to find out what happens to, you know, Bella and Edward, like most people during that time. But definitely those. And I think, you know, they're not going to win literary awards, we all know. But, like, for example, Angus Thongs, I think if you are someone who wants to get into reading, that's a great way to start, because even though some of the humor is very particularly British, I think some people would struggle with it. It is hilarious. Like, it takes the piss about being vulnerable, having, you know, everyone has their insecurities, everything like that. But it's just also a fun read. It's going to give you a giggle and sort of a nice time.
I
love Angus Thongs. I can't remember if I read them, but the film, I know I must have read them. I had the book, I must have read them. But the film, I just get that image of her running down the street in that, oh my gosh, costume. it's going to be stuck in my head now, just going on a loop.
With, like, the orange legs, y'all, that look like Cheetos or like orange.
Yeah. Yeah. Beth, what was your favorite book growing up? Have we talked about this?
I don't think we've talked about this. Growing up, like when I was like a child, I loved, there's a book series called Skullduggery Pleasant. And it was something like when my sister was growing up, my dad would read to her the Harry Potter books and like Lord of the Rings. But like by the time like I was growing up and like watching the films instead, because I feel kind of terrible saying that, but like I've never read those books. But my dad wanted to find something individual that he could read to me at night. So we found this book series called Skullduggery Pleasant about, you know, this kind of like 16-year-old girl teaming up with like a skeleton detective and like all the kind of like magical adventures they go on. And I loved that book, and like you really see the character grow. So that was my favorite growing up. And then obviously more like independently reading, it was the icon that is The Hunger Games, and then like Red Queen by Victoria Aveyard. Like those are the books I didn't get into Divergent or The Maze Runner, but like they got me, they kind of grabbed me. And then I went into like a book slump for a number of years and didn't read until university. How about you, Mads?
I agree. Hunger Games, obviously. I mean, I feel like that's really like us. It sums us up, doesn't it? But I was obsessed. There was like a spy book series, and it was like teenage girls, and they went to the school, and they were all spies. But like the first one is called like, If I Tell You I Love You, I'd Have to Kill You. And it's like, holds a special place in my heart. It's like really cringy looking back now, but I've still got all the books. And obviously More Than the Vampires. I can't believe it's been 8 years since I met that author. That seems like yesterday. That's actually mental. I don't know if you've heard of it, but there's literally like 15 books in the series, and it's not great. If I reread them now, it's not good, but they were like my childhood. I went to a signing, got every single book signed that I possibly could. But yeah, and then obviously like when BookTube was at its height, what, in like 2013, 2014, Hunger Games, The Host. I loved Divergent.
Oh, that was a bad book.
I loved it.
That was a nail biter if there wasn't anyone. Like, I love her writing. Like, I cannot talk much. I don't know if it was, maybe it wasn't the book, but the movie was a bleeding joke. Like
what? The terrible. Host or Divergent?
No, the host. Divergent wasn't so bad. Like, she kind of lost the way in the end there with the books, but the host, the movie was
the movie's grim mistake. Horrendous. It's so horrendous. Bad.
Dreadful. I can use so many similes there. Like, dreadful.
But I loved the book, and Beth can attest to this. Even now, I love the book. I'm waiting for the second one to come out because she promised it in like 2015 and never brought it out, and I'm still mad about it.
Like, but she's a real emotional Midnight one. Sun.
Pardon?
I was just going to say, but she brought out Midnight Sun, which was probably not necessary for anyone.
No.
But I hear your perspective.
Thank you.
Like, the sequel for The Host is like a real sore point for Maddie. I think she's not going to get over it. And it's apparently meant to be a trilogy. So there's meant to be two more books.
Exactly. And then, you know, when Midnight Sun happened and she put that timer with no title on her website, and then it was just Midnight Sun. I was like, nobody asked for this. Literally nobody asked for this. We did not need another Twilight book.
No one asked for it. No one needed it. It was unnecessary. Did I still buy it? 100%.
Have you read it?
Absolutely not. It's the exact same thing. I wanted to, because I was so excited because on BookTube, a bunch of BookTubers had gotten it before its release and I already pre-ordered it. And they were like, I'm so excited. I hope there's so many new things that we'll learn about them and, you know, their meeting and all of these, like, unforeseen things from his perspective. Because obviously it was from hers. Nothing. Nada. I think it's, like, two things that are new within this book that I can remember. And I was like, fuck. 150 crowns for nothing.
I haven't read it. I don't even think I finished reading Twilight. I'm going to be honest with you. I think I got to like the third one and then never finished it.
I never even picked them up.
Did you not?
Mm-mm. I have copies. My sister had them and then she just kind of like handed them down to me. She also did the same with like the Lemony Snicket book series, which I never finished that. But we have
I never finished it, but I was obsessed with it.
I loved it. Loved the writing.
Yeah.
So next question, what has been your favourite book to like film/TV adaptation? Now, obviously we've highlighted that The Host was not a great adaptation, yes. But there have been some good ones. So which ones have you enjoyed?
I think obviously Twilight, right? Like I really enjoyed that when that came out. Now when I watch it, I'm like cringe kind of theme. But to be honest, if you ask me like a more recent one that has come out, I would probably have to say Shadow and Bone. I never read Shadow and Bone, but the Six of Crow adaption was even better than the Six of Crow book because I only gave it a 3 or 3.5 on Goodreads. But the show was absolutely incredible. I think it made the show in my perspective. They were obviously good parts of the Shadow and Bone, but the Six of Crows aspect was fucking awesome. I'm just gonna say that now because I just feel like she added so much more to those characters than what we saw in the book. Like Kaz was so much more interesting. Every one of them had such special parts, so that one for me was really good. But there are books coming, adaptations coming that I hope I can say the same about, that I'm really excited for. I can mention those if you want, but Shadow and Bone for sure. Some of the adaptations, like The Hating Game, which is a haters to lovers book that a lot of people like, but by your faces, I'm assuming none of you know. Great. Okay.
I know of it, but I haven't read it yet.
I picked it up super randomly, and then like a couple of years later, every booktuber was like, The Hating Game, The Hating Game. I was like, oh shit, it's really popular. It was great. It was a super enjoyable 3 hours of my life. Other ones are the Bromance Book Club, super nice. It's about a group of guys who create a book club so that they learn how to become better husbands, better men in the world, and how to, so for example, remove toxic masculinity, gaslighting, abuse, the works, everything. That one I'm really excited about. I mean, there's a ton. Vanishing Half, also incredible. But I know that you also asked me what books I don't like for later, so I'll leave some of these comments for later maybe. But yeah, I would say Twilight and Shadow and Bone for sure. Some of the best, I would say, adaptions so far.
I 100% agree. Not The Host. I 100% agree about Shadow and Bone. Like, I think the crows made it. I would have been so bored if it was just Alina's story, but they truly made... I mean, I just love 100%. Kaz Brekker. I feel like I'm biased because I just love Kaz, but I also love Jesper.
Kit Young is literally Jesper. Like, he was... No one else could have played it.
No.
It's amazing.
No one else. It was incredible. I want there to be a spin-off series just for them. I don't think it's going to happen, but I just want their story. In fact, Alina can disappear. I don't care about... I know you do because you love the Darkling. Yeah.
No, correction. Correction. I love Ben Barnes, and as the Darkling who's slightly scary, I do kind of... The Darkling's a terrible person, but I find him deeply attractive. And perhaps that's the problem that they're trying to make.
I would agree. But I think, what's the guy that helps her from her childhood? He's also pretty nice. He's a good character.
I hate him. He's the soldier with the buzz cut. I hate him so much.
In the show, you haven't...
He's gorgeous. Sorry, he's gorgeous, but I hate the character.
Yeah, the character sucks. You haven't read Shadow and Bone, have you?
No, I haven't read. I'm trying to read She's and Storming, but I have read... I've read multiple reviews that it is the fucking worst book of anything she's written.
Yeah.
Is that true?
It's not great. It's like really boring.
I really got it. Do you have to read that to get, like, what is it? Reason Rising something? What's the third one?
The first... Ruin and... I don't
Ruin
know.
And Rising.
That's the one.
There you go. Do you gotta read Siege and Storming?
Yeah. Oh,
I think so. But also, you meet, like, one of the best characters in that book.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
there's
literally...
one character that saves it.
Actually,
He's the one in the Kings
it.
Of Wolves, yeah?
Yeah.
But also there's two other characters that we meet, whose names both begin
Tamar
with T.
Tamar and Tolya.
Yeah. They're icons.
Any really good, like, adaptations. I love the first Divergent adaptation. I think it was really accurate and close to the books, but then the film's just took a turn. I don't even know what happened to them. It's just a hot mess, isn't it?
Do we know why they didn't finish it? I feel like it left on a cliffhanger, and I'm not going to read the book. So what happened? Does she, you know, diverge? Like, what happened to the life? Does she diverge, or what are we doing?
They stopped filming it, basically, because it got so bad. The CGI was, like, horrendous. And then they turned around and was like, nobody's going to go to the cinemas and watch it, so we're going to make a film for TV. And then all of the actors were like, we didn't sign up for this, and just, like, broke their contract.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So they just didn't finish it. Do you want spoilers for the books? Is that what you want?
Yeah, please, tell me what happens. Does she diverge?
Okay, she dies. They go outside.
Are you kidding?
Wall.
We went through all of that for her to do this.
Yeah, she goes outside the wall. There's like a... It turns out it's like an experiment. Did you know that part? It's like a whole experiment. And the person that's running it is like doing something. He's trying to do something. And she's trying to get something off of him. And she ends up dying. Yeah, it's really anticlimactic. Oh, and Four ends up with... what's her face? Christina.
You did ask.
No, I'm being serious.
No ways.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, I mean, one of the questions you had asked me was, what is a book that you think deserves an adaptation? Can I tell you that one that have not been signed? I don't think they've been signed, but I'm not sure if you know. I think I've told you this before, but Daisy Jones and the Six. Basically anything that Taylor Jones Reid has ever written should be made a film.
Sorry, that is actually being made into an adaptation because it's got an actor that I love in it. So that's being made at the moment.
Praise Chicken Nuggets. Yes. Yay.
For anyone
stoked.
That was wondering, Val's face was just like...
Jaw dropped. So that one I would say for sure. This one, if you know it, I will be so impressed, to be honest. Codename Variety. Oh, tragic. It's such a good book. I'm going to talk about it later because you also asked me about it. Like one of my favorite books of all time that are underrated. For your like non-reaction, that's why I think it is that. Other ones, Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. Again, Taylor Jenkins Reid, because again, everything she writes is great. And then Kiss Quotient. Maybe you've heard of it.
We're going to be reading it for another collab coming up.
I'm going to listen to that. It is incredible. Amazing.
I've heard really good things about it.
Yeah. Maddie, are there any like books that you want to see turned from like film to TV into like adaptations?
Can you guess what I'm going to say?
Morganville Vampires.
Yes. 100% yes. They promised us a web series. I'm not even joking, when I was 13, and it never happened. And I'm so mad about it still. Like, at least I don't think it happened.
I'm so happy you didn't say Den of Vipers.
I'd be concerned for me if I said Den of Vipers. I think nobody needs that. No, nobody needs it. The way
there are some scenes. I say there are some scenes in that book, they legally could not be made on TV, I don't think.
I mean, I haven't watched any of the 50 Shades of Grey films, but I feel like the popularity it's getting, Den of Vipers is getting on TikTok, it could potentially be the next. But I don't want it to be. I want to make that clear. I don't need it in my life.
I will just clarify. I was forced into watching some of those 50 Shades of Grey films. I think they are actually comedies because they're just so terrible. And like everyone's like, oh my God, they're such a hot couple. I'm like, the actors have no chemistry whatsoever. Individually on their own, they're very attractive people, but like together, it's terrible chemistry. But like, it's so tame in comparison to Den of Vipers, which is a nightmare that is on fire. It's nothing in comparison to Den of Vipers.
Cool, good to know. If
you can't guess,
either,
I'm traumatized by Den of Vipers.
Listen, it's not. I was gonna say it's not that bad. It's pretty bad. I can't say anything. I'm reading a vampire reverse harem at the moment. What do you want from me?
See, I personally can't actually answer this question at the moment because I like all the things that I wanted to be turned into adaptations are like Red Queen is going to be adapted into a TV show. I know that ACOTAR is going to be a TV show, and like that's like the book series that got me back into reading, even though I don't really like Sarah J. Maas. The one thing that I do, yes, Val.
I was just gonna say, I have to bring it up now because I'm probably gonna forget. ACOTAR, some of that should have been left on the page. Like, some of those, it's such a slow burn. It's actually the fairy version of Cersei. It's so slow.
I don't like the first book, like, at all. I don't like it. The second one's fantastic. I am obsessed. And then the third one is, like, mediocre to me. But every time I say that, Beth's like, the first one's great. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, okay.
Would you recommend that
I
read the second one?
The second one is amazing.
Incredible.
Oh, should I read it? Okay, then I'm going to trust you and read this. So if it's bad, I'm going to come to you guys.
Look, okay. I never cry, and I was like sobbing at 3 o'clock in the morning.
So if I may just point out, like, you've not even, like, the first book, like, I personally like it, but just for certain elements. Like, the second half of the first book is amazing. But in the second book, you meet the literal best characters. Like, you've not even met the best characters of the series yet. It's in the second book. And when I say the best, I mean the dreamiest, most amazing, delicious fictional men. Love them. I love them so much.
All right, I'll give it a try. You've convinced me enough to at least give it a try.
I'm glad.
You've won that,
I'm so glad.
I'll give it to you then.
I'm glad. Jess, you know, the honorary other member of this podcast, she stormed through the first book, loved it, and then started reading the second one and just doesn't like it. And I'm like, how did you get through the first one and not like the second one? Like, I truly don't understand it.
Oh, I understand. It's because she's a Tamlin stan.
Screw Tamlin.
Also, just to quickly finish off that last question, the one thing that hasn't been announced as a TV show yet, but I can really easily imagine, I think Throne of Glass would be a really good, like, Game of Thrones-esque Sky drama, but only if I can be in it. Like, the actor side of me I just love it, and it's an epic kind of big fantasy, and I want it. Okay, we've mentioned off the podcast Red Queen, and I think we're about to have a debate. What are everyone's thoughts on Red Queen? I personally love it, and I love Victoria Aveyard. but I will open it to the floor. What do you think, Val?
How many books has this woman written? Just out of curiosity. Isn't it like 105?
No, she's written a shit. Like, she's written like 4 or 5 for the Red Queen series and then 1 Realmbreaker.
Okay, maybe I missed. Maybe it's Sarah J. Maas actually that's written so many books, because one of them has written like a million, it feels like. But Red Queen, I get it, but maybe I just was in a slump and shouldn't have read it when I had read it. I'm not the biggest fan. I DNF'd it at 40%, and I just think that there are many other books that they should adapt before that. And I asked Maddie, should I persevere and get through it? As an objective opinion, because I know Beth really likes it. But what do you think? Should I persevere? Should I spend hours of my life getting through these books?
If I'm honest, I don't think it gets... I haven't finished them. I'm on the 4th one? Question mark? I don't think it gets better than the first book. So if you're struggling with the first one, then I'd think don't bother.
Oh no, okay.
See, I can't fucking stand Cal, but Beth loves Cal.
Listen here, Maddie. your isolation ends at 11:59 tonight. Catch me at midnight.
Fists look, up and all.
See, look, I like Maven as a character. I much prefer Maven. I understand he's a bad person, but I much prefer Maven over Cal. Okay, at least he's interesting. Yes, he murders people, but at least he has his own faults, okay? You can't say anything. You like the Darklin.
He is hot. I don't like him for his personality. I like him because he's hot.
You can't argue... Oh no, my laptop's going to die. You can't argue that Maven's got some of the best quotes in the entire
Oh no,
series.
Like, I'm not arguing like, that. Incredible. I think Maven is... wonderful. I just prefer Cal, so fight me.
Okay, so what question are we going on to? We're gonna say the books that you hate the most. Everyone loves, but
most kind of controversial books to hate.
Okay, let's see. I have a list here. Okay, so first of all, the first one. I am not sure if it was because of school reading that I hated, but I genuinely found it one of the most bland, unnecessary books of my whole life and probably of literature, which was To the Lighthouse by Virginia Woolf. I know a lot of people liked it, but it's basically about a book where she thinks the lighthouse is a phallic image and you've just read the book. Congrats. That's literally what it was like. And it was for my either grade 11 or grade 12 English class, and we literally revolted against finishing it. We got 60 pages in and we were like, "Sir, we're not reading the end of this. This is garbage." It was so bland. Like, she spent like 30 pages describing something and then went through 3 of the most intense scenes in like 2.5 pages. I was like, great, lovely, fantastic. Not necessary. So that one for sure. The next one is, I've read one of her other books and found them really good, but Little Fires Everywhere by Celeste Ng. Have you heard of it? They made
Wasn't
it
that
into,
made
a,
into
show.
A TV show. I haven't read the book, but I've watched the show.
So that book, and okay, so but you've seen the show, so it makes my point even more valid. That whole thing was unnecessary. If that woman just minded her own business, like, it would have been completely fine, because her daughter, like, whose business is it to you that you then go and find out that this woman kept the baby that a family paid for? Not great, I understand that, but she wanted to genuinely have a daughter. And you took it upon yourself to dive deep into her life and then decide she's not good enough for the neighborhood and basically kick her out. Completely unnecessary.
Yeah, fair.
If she minded her own business, they would have gone to school. Her and that son of hers would have probably dated. And eventually they probably would have gotten along really well, because she was like the cook and cleaner of her house. And she is a really smart lady. Like, it needed nothing of that interference from Reese Witherspoon's character. Unnecessary to the furthest extent.
You have made some points. I don't think I ever finished it. I'm going to be honest with you. I got like 90% of the way through it and was like, nah, I can't be bothered.
No. And she was so horrible to her child. Her child is like, a kid growing up in a pretty well-to-do household and gets really bullied at school because of her sexuality and who she is as a person. And I was mm-hmm. like, everything yeah, you do does shitty. Not bring positivity or value. Why yeah. are you a character and why were you written? Great.
Yeah, that
so that one's fair. That one. This next one is probably what made Wattpad famous. It's probably what put Wattpad on the map. You probably already know what I'm going to say what it is, but it is the After series. Terrible? The movies? Absolutely waste of a budget. I can think of so many good things to do with that money. First of all, a lot of people need money in donations with charities. Give it to them because it's better off than entertaining with whatever substance of these movies. No, I'm really not trying to be harsh, but I went to go see the second After movie. I considered getting up like 17 times and then I was like, let me give it a little bit more. And I watched it and I was like, those are 2.5 hours. I'll never get back in my life. Because you have so many opportunities to make those books really good. Because she has chance of, you know, growing, character development, everything. And then it never comes. They do the same thing. He's a bit creepy. He's controlling, toxic and everything. And she does nothing. So that one, for sure, not really a big fan of.
I'm going to be honest with you. I read it all as a fan fiction.
But people say that it was better as a fan fiction because you knew that it was genuinely like a fan fiction because it's like, you know, it's not serious or anything.
I think that's true. I never read the books. I couldn't bring myself to bring the actual books because I think the whole point is that it is a fan fiction. Like, everything about it screams fan fiction, and then you're just going to remove some of the names and try and make it a proper book. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. But I haven't watched any of the films. Beth loves them.
No. Once again, I think they are hilarious. Like, I was bored and I'd seen everyone talking. Two of the girls on my uni course are like absolute diehard fans of the books. Like, have like special edition copies, like made a video for the author, like really, really big fans. So I thought, oh, I'll try it. Why not? And I was laughing. And it's like you were saying, like, she has so many, the main character has so many points for like growth and like personal development. And instead she just ignores it. She's just like, no. And like she's like really actively like an English literature reader. And like you would have thought, like, she reads lots of like feminist books with amazing heroines that she would make like really great choices. But no, she like slut shames like the girl next to her and just like does terrible things. And I don't like it. The films are just terribly written and I think they're funny for it.
And you are absolutely correct. Sorry, please go.
No, go.
What I was just going to say is in the books, right, like he takes the sheets that they had sex on to prove that she lost her virginity because she bled, right? And you go back to that. He defied you. He beguiled you. He made you look worthless. And she just... Are you kidding?
I don't get it.
Are you genuinely kidding? Like, I think, and the thing is that I really like the author. When you hear her in interviews, she's so progressive. She's so, like, I think from what I've seen clips of her, she seems pretty progressive. She's like a feminist, so she says. And this guy treats her like this and she just wanders her ass back to him. Are you kidding? No, I wasn't a fan. I didn't stand it. Like, I agree with Beth, though. They were hilarious. Like, the fact that they got such serious actors to do... Like, one of the girls from The Vampire Diaries was in this shit. I was like, you're a great actress. What are you doing? Come on. Come on, Pet. Come now.
I'm not normally a person to, like, look at the books people like and be like, how the hell do you like them? I understand that everyone has their own taste, but there's this one girl that I went to school with and she's constantly posting the book on her Instagram stories being like, this is the most incredible book in the entire world. Like, and I'm like, have you not read literally any other book? Like, any? Like, I really don't get it. I feel like just like, anonymously, because we don't talk anymore, just anonymously just like sending her a couple of books and being like, just take a look, just like, crack it open. You might not like it, it might not be for you, but I don't think a Wattpad fan fiction is the most incredible book in the entire world.
I think the girls on my course are kind of like that as well, very much like After is it is the epitome of books, and they're just great. Next question, what are your worst reading habits? you have any bad reading habits?
I think it depends on what you think is worse, because you were saying, like, reading multiple books. I'm always reading. It's like watching TV shows. I watch multiple things at once. I read a lot of things and listen to a lot of things at once. I think the worst one that a lot of people have is finding contention in what you have. So it's, I have a lot of books I haven't read, yet I always spend money buying more. So my TBR consistently grows, and I'm like, I'm going to read these 10 books before I buy anything else. No. There's a different feeling when you're buying books versus the ones you're reading. It's like this euphoric feeling, especially when they come in the mail and all of this. And some books, I really argue that, yes, you can rent them from the library. Yes, you can get them on a Kindle. But some books you genuinely want to own a physical copy of. And there's nothing worse than once you get it, you read it, and it was not worth what you paid for. But really, I think that's one of my worst reading habits, is that I spend money that I really shouldn't, because I have tons of books to read.
I just had that experience with Cersei. I splurged and got the hardback cover because it's so pretty. And now I'm like, what was the point? I could have just got it on Kindle. I do exactly the same. My worst is that I break the spines. And I'm not just talking break, like they're literally dead by the time that I've finished reading them.
You literally steamroll the spines. Like, they are broken.
Well, I just
I've borrowed many of your books, and they're just, it is satisfying.
Yeah, because I don't like having to hold it like this. Like, this is not what I want when I'm reading. I want to be comfortable. So I'm going to break it so that it's flat, so that I'm not like this trying to read.
Fair enough. My one is definitely that I highlight. I don't have, like, the energy to make notes. I think it's just, like, from school, I'm into the habit of, like, highlighting and, like, making little notes on things. But I just saw on TikTok you can get, like, these, like, see-through post-it notes. So you can, like, mark on the post-it note instead. Or my new favorite is I saw there was a creator who, like, puts pictures of herself in the story. So, for example, if there's a sad scene, she'll, like, input a picture of her, like, sobbing. And I would like to do that so bad.
Can we please read the same book and then just print pictures out so we get to see each other's reactions, please? That's what I want.
Just like swap. No, I would want you to have your own copy of A Court of Mist and Fury. I think I still have a screenshot of you crying at like 3 a.m. I would put that in that section.
I've got the video still of me just sobbing. I showed it to my dad and he was like, what is actually wrong with you? And I was like, it was traumatic, okay? That whole scene.
Okay, when you read it, what we'll do is we'll send you that video of Maddie so you can understand why we find this video so funny.
I genuinely am now motivated to genuinely read that now. Like, she's actually given me a lot. Not because I want to cry or, like, understand why she cried, but, like, the first didn't really do it for me. It was, I think I gave it 3.5 out of 5 because I can definitely see why people love it. Like, that was so easy. I don't want everyone to think that I'm a really harsh reader. To be honest, the first last year when I started really reading heavily, I gave everything a 4 or 5. Like, literally everything same. Was a 4. And now I've gotten way more critical. But it's only because, like, I genuinely think that if you're going to spend hours of a life that you'll never get back, read something that's really going to entertain you, in my opinion, because I can't answer for anyone else. But genuinely, I think I might actually do it, because ACOTAR just, it was thinner, but it took me forever. I think I took a week to read it.
Yeah, it's like the first half, I think we said it in our episode, the first half of the book is not important. Like, it doesn't need to be there, nothing happens. And then the second half, it kind of picks up. But even then, I was a bit like, other than the trials, nothing happens. So, but yeah, I love the second one, clearly. Not that we're supporting Sarah J Maas here. Not that we're supporting Sarah J Maas. I'd like to make that clear yet again.
Maddie and I had the conversation earlier this week. I hate enjoying a book and then finding out, like, then having it come out that the author's problematic. I'm like, it's really easy to wake up and not be a dick. And I don't understand how it's so hard for people, especially when people have made like a nice piece of work and you want to read it and celebrate it, and then they come out as a dick and you're like, like, you had an easy choice and you decided against being a nice person. So
it's like J.K. Rowling completely fucked Harry Potter for a lot of people,
literally.
Actually, on this podcast, we celebrate the fact that Harry Potter is the only book series ever written without an author. I think Harry Potter himself wrote it. I just, at this point, pretend J.K. Rowling doesn't exist.
Yeah, Akatar in front of glass. So bordering that line to the point where we're like, nobody's written it. If one more thing comes out about her, then we're going to be like, nah. wrote itself.
Wrote itself. We wrote it.
Surprise.
Final question. I think we have one final question. Do we have time really quickly? What is your favorite underrated book or book series? We've not covered that one yet, have we?
No, but I have a few.
Okay, go for it.
It's not really that series, but book. So Codename Variety. I really encourage everyone, because I genuinely believe, like, if you've seen, if any of you have seen A Quiet Place, so that was John Krasinski's love letter to his children. It's a beautiful film. I'm not even a big thriller or horror person, and I loved it. It was a beautiful movie. But Codename Variety is like a love letter to friendship. It is an absolutely stunning book, and I recommend it to everyone that I meet, because when I read it, I remember texting one of my best friends and just being like, thank you so much for being my friend, like, genuinely. Like, it really pulls those feels, and it's one of those books where maybe you don't think about it every day, but at least like once a month you'll be like, oh my gosh, do you remember when I read this? Or like these internal conversations. So Codename Variety, please everyone read it. And if you love it, please tell me about it, because I love when other people read it. The second is for the same principles, but it focuses on like loyalty and ethics and everything, which is City of Thieves. It's a little bit strange. It's about two people in Russia during World War II in Stalingrad, and they are on the hunt for chicken eggs in the middle of the war when they didn't even have like potatoes. So they're trying to find chickens and eggs. I will leave it at that because it sounds weird, but the ending is absolutely stunning. And I think every day for 2 months after I read that book, I was like, it touched me. It touched my soul, and I'm a better person after reading that book. The next one is Green Lights. I think I've talked to you both about it. It's the not autobiography, but it is a book from Matthew McConaughey. He talks about like how you can turn like amber lighted situations. So when you come to an impasse in life, you then have the choice to make it better or worse. He's not taking any sacrifice, trauma, or anything away from people, but really saying, you know, you are in control of the outcome of what comes next to a larger extent. So do that. And then I have said time and time again, I think I've said it 3 times in this podcast, but anything by Taylor Jenkins Reid and so many other authors. I think Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo is absolutely incredible. It's a joyous book, in my opinion. And these are just because underrated, but there's many books like Vanishing Half, so many books like that that I think are absolutely worth celebrating. Like, they're absolutely incredible. Like Ali Wong, all of these books, incredible.
We were debating doing, was it The 11 Husbands of Evelyn Hugo in like an upcoming episode, because we were trying to figure out what to do, and we were like, should we do it? Should we not do it? But do you think we should do it?
I think you should do it. Okay. Yeah, 110%. Okay. Like, it's so incredible, and it deals with so many things. Like, it's absolutely amazing. I love that book. I could not say anything more about it. I mean, yeah, please read it.
Okay.
I think that's all of our questions.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Which is sad.
Just on time as well.
Just on time. Val, you have a couple of minutes. Tell us, you know, everything our listeners need to know. Where can they find you? Where can they hear your podcast? Give us everything.
Absolutely. So I'm the Everything with Val podcast. You can reach me on Instagram, Everything with Val, and then on Twitter, it's Everything Val. I forgot to put with, so it's just Everything Val. So definitely reach out to me there. You can find me on every single platform. I'm on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, literally everything, Deezer, all of those streaming sites. I'm also on Audible. And you can also find me on Goodreads. I do spend quite a bit of time on there updating about books that I like. So if you want anything more, because this is definitely not all of the books that I like, definitely I think some of them are underrated. But yeah. That's all about me and Everything with Val, I think.
Cool. Honestly, Maddie, please go and check her. Please go and check out her podcast. Like I said, her voice is like, to me, it's so calming. Like, I could listen to you speak for the longest time. Like, that sounds so creepy, but I feel like, I mean, you can hear me talk. Essex is not the most calming place to listen to people talk. So,
I love it. But yeah, I will say one episode that I just did, which is with one of my family friends I grew up with her. We just did a podcast, it's all about things, sex, relationships, vulnerability. It's really great. She's a sex therapist, so I highly recommend that. She talks the most of the time because she's the expert. I won't paint myself a relationships expert at all, but genuinely think that people should give it a listen. I hope it helps someone.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, as you know, we're everywhere. If you're listening on, what is it called? Apple Podcasts, that's the one. Please leave us a review. It really helps us out. If you want to find us on our socials, our TikTok and our Instagram is @offthebook_thepodcast. Our Twitter is @offthebook_pod. We've got a Gmail, offthebookpodcast@gmail.com, and a Goodreads, which is just Off the Book. Beth, anything to add?
I just want to say thank you so much to Val for coming on. Yes. And also for having us on her podcast. Please, please, please go and check out the episode that we've just done on Cersei. And hopefully we'll do another collaboration someday in the future, because I've had a really fun time. And thank you so much. Other than that, I think we're going to peace out. Thank you so much. Peace.
Peace out. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.